This is Sound Effects, a radio playground, a compendium of audio theater, comedy, and the audio arts. With your host, Jerry Stearns.
The people of Moloch are running out of time. Their seas are dead. Their air is filling with toxins. A civilization that celebrates greed is destroying itself. Can truth save a world from self-destruction? Find out. Listen to The Last Harbinger on Sound Effects on KFAI.
The Last Harbinger on Sound Effects, a radio playground. Good evening. I'm Jerry Stearns. The voice you just heard there was Roger Gregg. He's the creator of The Last Harbinger, the program we've been listening to for the last 2 weeks, and we'll conclude tonight before the top of the hour. We'll have some lighter fare in the second half of the show. If you missed the last two episodes, they are currently still available in the archives for 2 weeks after their broadcast, so you can still get last week's show even after tonight's show is done. And if you still miss them all, they are available on YouTube. If you do a search for The Last Harbinger, you can find all five episodes there. Now, Roger Gregg grew up in Ohio. On a school trip, he fell in love with the country of Ireland, and so as soon as he was through with school, he moved there and started a family and started working. The first piece he sent me was called Tread Softly, Bill Lizard, on which he did all of the more than a dozen voices for that piece. It won an award, so he came over here, and while he was here, we were able to use him in a live radio play of our own at one time. After that, he started the Crazy Dog Audio Theater, and they did some remarkable work, more award winners, and he worked with some of the very best voiceover artists in all of the country of Ireland. Besides being the writer, he also performs in them. He's the director and producer, and he does all the music for it. The Crazy Dog Audio Theater doesn't seem to be around anymore, and their website's gone, but you can find a lot of it on YouTube. While you're listening tonight, think of, there's one guy behind all of this. This is the final episode of The Last Harbinger by the Crazy Dog Audio Theater.
Crazy Dog Audio Theater presents The Last Harbinger, an elegy for shadows fleeting in twilight by Roger Gregg. Episode 5, Shadows Falling Forward.
Our story is set in a possible place, where a door has opened through a shadow of space. On a world called Moloch, where by its own hand, it's killing itself, its air, water, and land. An alien harbinger came to aid this land and offered them a helping hand. But instead, he found himself detested, and before he could speak, he was quickly arrested. A trial was held. It was cleverly crafted. The dancers danced, and the actors acted.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Channel 66 Real Good News' continuing coverage of the trial of the century. I'm Darissa Nurgle.
And I'm Chax Sabacco.
And you're looking as lovely as ever, Chax.
Right, lovely.
Ladies and gentlemen of the court.
That's Dr. Malthus, the chief prosecutor.
Professor Abigor.
Malthus is continuing to question Professor Abigor, friend and accomplice to the stranger on trial before us.
Yes?
You are Moloch's leading scientist.
Well, that is...
Spare us your self-effacing modesty, Professor. You are Moloch's leading scientist. This is common knowledge. Such a brilliant, questioning mind. A mind which deserves to be put in a jar and studied by other minds, and yet...
Yet what?
Explain your theory about this stranger.
You know what he is.
Oh, do I?
Yes. You were there when we first made contact.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, fill us in then.
The stranger is...
Go on.
He is a harbinger.
A harbinger?
A messenger. He was sent here with a message.
And from where do you believe he was sent?
You know, you were there.
From where do you believe he was sent?
From a parallel dimension. It's true! He is not from our world!
This is your theory?
Yes.
Which, by definition, is not a proven fact.
Every explanation in science is theory until proven otherwise.
When it is replaced by eternal truth.
No! By revised theory. That's how scientific understanding advances.
Are you saying, under oath, that you believe that there are no eternal truths? But what of our holy book of our Lord Mammon?
But that is...
It's what? The fundamental truth revealed in the book of Mammon is what, Professor?
Myth. It's not science, it's myth.
I submit to the courts that Professor Abigor, her brain overheating from a lifetime spent grappling with what she herself admits are irresolvable theoretical puzzles, has quite clearly driven herself insane.
This is not true.
Call the lovely Chax Sabacco to the stand.
Isn't this exciting? Our own lovely Chax Sabacco with his famous nodules is taking the stand. Some say they are enhanced, but he insists they are real.
Mr. Sabacco.
Oh, it's Chax.
You were at the attempted bombing of the Terminal Exchange, an evil attempt to burst the great dikes which shield Moloch from the rising sea.
Yes, I was. As a serious journalist, I had to...
Make it real by televising it?
That is correct.
So it was real?
It was on the news.
At this time, we would like to play the crucial moment of that news report. It should be coming up on the monitor now.
Of some kind of bomb.
What you're seeing is obviously a premeditated attack. Check. What's that, Chad? We seem to have lost our sound link with our lovely Chax Sabacco. As you can see, the stranger is trying to explode a mysterious bomb right beside Moloch's Terminal Exchange. Wait, what's this? The stranger has taken hold of the bomb. He's obviously trying to get it to explode, but it's not working. Several guards are charging out of the crowd. Now, the bombers are being hogtied and taken into custody.
And that... Members of the court, is all the proof we need. Isn't that right, Mr. Sabacco?
Yes.
You must have been relieved when the police seized the stranger before he could explode that bomb.
Yes.
Fortunately, we have the proof. For as we saw just now, the camera kept rolling, despite your mistake of disrupting your sound link. Correct, Mr. Sabacco. I'm sorry, we didn't hear your answer. Could you repeat it for all the court to hear?
Yes, I disrupted my sound link. Somehow...
Somehow? Perhaps you were too busy fussing with your famous alluring nodules.
I was not.
Of course not, Mr. Sabacco, I'm joking. But still... No one expects you, the lovely Chax Sabacco, to be competent in technological matters.
I do my job.
Yes, your job.
The important thing is your steadfast anchor person, Jerissa Nergal, saved the day and jumped in to present the facts as seen on TV.
But she didn't.
Mr. Sabacco, remember our agreement.
I know what we agreed, but I'm just as good as Jerissa.
Can we leave aside your petty jealousy?
She didn't know what was really happening at the terminal.
Of course she did.
She made it all up.
You're getting emotional.
All that business about the stranger trying to explode a bomb?
Strike this from the record.
You want to know what really happened?
Let the witness stand down.
Okay, fine. I'm standing down. All the way down because I quit. Oh, and one more thing. Here's my nodules. Oh. There they are. See? Look at them. Oh. Yeah, get a good close-up on camera, too. And yes, they are not real. Artificially enhanced and as fake as everything else.
Oh, Ebola! Nothing here is real. You're all fake. You're all fake. I'm finished with you.
Oh, my! In a startling, well-framed close-up, the lovely Jack Sabacco has just revealed the shocking truth. His nodules are enhanced. He's just proven it by maladjusting his wardrobe and then storming right off your television screen. This is certainly the most traumatic real news ever on Channel 66.
Next up was Ben Dagan, the Harbinger's best friend, a beggar who promised to stay true till the end. But this was the end, and he was easily led, knowing which side butter was found on his bread. All the snap he could snort was part of the deal. Just give him a squeeze, and he was willing to squeal.
Are you quite finished, Mr. Dagan?
Yeah. Remind me again. What do you want?
The truth.
Oh, yeah. The truth. Oh, it's hot in here, ain't it?
What is it you do, Mr. Dagan?
Well, what I do is,
Come, Mr. Dagan, it's no secret. You are an outcast, a snap addict.
Well, now, I work.
Oh, yes, that's right. You are a musician. You are Ben Dagan, the blind musician, are you not?
Yeah, that's me.
But you're not blind today, are you, Mr. Dagan?
The stranger happened... touch my eyes. I can see real good now.
So, the stranger ruined your trade.
Say what?
Who's going to toss you coins now that you can see?
I guess I would have made more when I was blind, but I can see now, and that's good, although there ain't much worth looking at.
Tell me about the stranger's intentions.
Intentions? Well, he told me he wanted to change everything.
Why?
Because
Mr. Dagan, tell us, why did the stranger want to change everything?
Because he said it was all wrong.
We are wrong? How could that be?
Well, now, at the time, I was quite messed up. Yeah, that's it. I got so messed up, I thought we were on a train that was going to crash. I remember the big train crashing.
How can anyone believe that we, the people of Moloch, are wrong when we consume so much of our planet's resources?
Well, yes, sir, we do that all right, some of us.
When every year we burn more and more lubricant.
That's true.
When every day we progress higher.
Yeah, progress, sure.
Anyone can see that, surely.
Yeah, you'd think so, but,
But what?
But the stranger, he didn't see it that way.
So he proposed to change everything.
Yeah.
How?
Well, now, come on, the TV show...
Mr. Dagan, please, in your own words.
I told you, he wanted to get us all to stop, and he would make his announcement, and we'd listen to the truth, and then, I don't know.
How was he going to get us to listen?
Well, I, You know, I could really use a...
Not yet, Mr. Dagan. Perhaps after you tell us. You do want to tell us, don't you?
Yeah, I want to tell you. Okay, I can do this. The stranger, right? I'm sorry, man. He had a bomb. Yeah, that's it. A bomb made of that secret element stuff. And he wanted to blow up the terminal, okay? And the dikes. And then that would flood everything. And all the lubricant would have to stop. And he wanted to just destroy the whole rotten everything. Even you rich, beautiful people. There. That's what you wanted me to see, right?
Just the truth, Mr. Dagan.
Yeah. The truth. You got your truth. Can I go now?
Yes, Mr. Dagan.
A demon! He's possessed by demons!
Open your eyes, Moloch. This day we gaze into the face of evil.
Ah, Professor. Working away, I see.
Yes.
Good.
What are you going to do with him?
He's being protected. The people are convinced he's a demon.
He is not a demon.
Demon, alien, stranger, madman, threat. Mere labels for the other. The outcome is always the same. Do you have everything you need in your lab?
Everything but my freedom.
Unfortunately, you must remain. Your work is too important. We need vast quantities of your mysterious element, and we need it quickly.
Why?
Because this one little vial that you've thus far managed to stabilize is not nearly enough.
For what?
A way out.
A way out?
So we can continue.
We?
Moloch.
Don't worry, Doctor. I'll find a way out.
As you were.
Yes. This should do it. Mm-hmm. Very efficient. Very quick. Painless. We'll see. So, Dr. Malfas, you wanted to find a way out? Here is the only real way out. Oh. Not bad. Not bad. Oh.
What have I done? A lifetime, making all the right moves. The scrambling, the vacuous mimicry, the inane prattle. And all the time, me playing along, making it all real, until I become just another grotesque mannequin, parroting all the other fraudulent caricatures. And then, after finally scratching my way right up to the top, I jump right off. Well, at least Jack Sabacco isn't lovely anymore. The sea doesn't care. It just goes on rising. And rising. And rising.
The dike! It's breaking!
Burn the demon! Burn the demon!
Yes, it's real. 95% say the hideous stranger must be possessed by a demon. Just 6% want lethal injection. 28% say the chair. 66% say the chamber. But an overwhelming polling, 98% of Malachians say burn him at the stake. And that figure goes up to 164% in the South. I'm Dorissa Nurgle, and that's the real good. Wait, something is happening down in the street. A giant wall of water is rushing, hurtling towards the very spot where I am standing.
Something's happened to the TV.
More.
I like funny shows.
But Mrs. Crystal...
Siphon it all off.
And movies.
Please, it's not safe.
But Skeletal is the new look.
Oh, these are good.
I only meant that if I take...
Siphon it off me. Now.
But I can't.
What I said, I will be beautiful.
I like happy.
Mrs. Crystal, I have to stop this.
No. Keep going. I can't take it.
But it's killing you.
Suck it all off.
Please don't make me do this. Oh, God, I can't even look at you.
No, you call a doctor.
Your wife is dying. She's dead.
She's not supposed to do that. Is she?
I know your suit is giving out, so there isn't much time, is there?
What do you want?
Just to speak with you.
I've told you.
Ah, yes. You are a harbinger. Come to announce our imminent self-destruction unless we change.
It's not prophecy. It's just...
extrapolation.
Yes. Shadows fall forward. As well as back.
And are these the shadows of the things that will be? Or are they the shadows of the things that may be only?
If you change course, then the projected outcome changes.
Ah, well then, we'll all just change. Simple.
You just won't let yourself believe it.
Oh, no. No, my dear Harbinger. Quite the contrary. Let us be clear. Moloch is doomed.
You know?
Of course.
Why don't you do something?
Have you no compassion?
Compassion is why I was sent.
No. Arrogance sent you. If you were truly compassionate, you would have stormed in from your parallel dimension with a great fleet of ships. We would have fallen on our knees and surrendered in a matter of hours. You don't like our way of life? Make us change. But no, you actually believe that a few paltry words, true or otherwise, are going to somehow alter the inexorable trajectory of an entire civilization. A civilization, and I use that expression loosely, of very, very flawed, simple, shallow creatures. And you come here, expecting these people to suddenly, somehow, sprout wings and fly.
You're lying to them.
What choice have I?
Don't you care what's happening to your people?
My people are everything to me. What you fail to understand is I love them. But I also know that not even I, with all the lubricant and wealth in our world, can make them sprout wings. But there is this.
The element.
Yes. The only sample of Mysterium Magnum in existence. a source of limitless power. That might change our equation, don't you think? Look at me. Look at me.
What?
If you really came here to help us, tell us how to use this. Please.
Hand me the element. Are you ready?
Yes. Fascinating. It's growing. Expanding. The quintessence of the universe. Pure unlimited energy. The power of the infinite. Yes! Yes! Power! Total power! We have it! We have it!
Your greed may destroy you, but not this.
The light!
You're so blind. Don't you see? It's not what you have. It's how much you love.
You're fading. Stop. Come back!
Stop. Our journey has begun. Our train is rolling on into the night. So dream of a shore by sea that is clean, and the rain falling sweet from the sky. On a field by forest that's growing more green, in sunlight soft to the eye. Let's pretend such a garden is true, a garden I bear on you, a garden I bear on you. Look out your window, you'll see it ain't so. For we ran from the garden so long ago. We burned forests to lay our tracks, and on with speed, clickety-clack, we go.
You've been listening to episode 5 of Crazy Dog Audio Theatre's The Last Harbinger, featuring Simon O'Gorman, Deirdre Malloy, Morgan Jones, Georgina Miller, Dermot McGuinness, Karen Ardiff, David Murray, Roger Gregg, Phil Proctor, and Melinda Peterson. Dialogue recording by Mark McGrath, floor manager Siobhan Mannion. The Last Harbinger was written, directed, and produced by Roger Gregg.
It's been such a long exposition, you know. I think we need a break. How about this one?
Did you know you're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio?
That's KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, or online at kfai.org.
Well, you are.
Yeah, I knew that.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to Thunderfix Radio Playground on KFAI. That's Fresh Air Radio. Radio without boundaries.
Thank you, Sydney Greenstreet. I'm Jerry Stearns, and after that last of The Last Harbinger, I think we need a couple of short sillies, don't you? Let's start with this one out of New York, and it's a scenario that's actually quite familiar to me.
Voicecapes Audio Theater presents Till Death Do Us Not Part.
Honey, your breakfast is ready.
Be right in. I gotta make a phone call.
At this hour? Who are you calling?
The cable company. I gotta cancel Dad's cable account.
He passed away over a month ago. I thought you already did that.
I know, I should've. I just kept putting it off.
Thank you for calling Timecast Optimum Cable. To continue in English, press 1. To continue in Spanish, press 2. First, tell me if you are currently a Timecast Optimum Cable customer. You can simply say yes or no, or you can press 1 for yes and 2 for no.
Yes.
I heard yes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Please tell me the phone number for this account you are calling about.
203-555-1212.
Okay, now please tell me the reason for your call. For example, you can say order pay-per-view or pay my bill.
Cancel an account.
I heard activate a cable box. Is that correct?
No.
Okay, let's try again. You can say pay-per-view.
Cancel an account.
I heard cancel a service appointment. Is that correct?
No, that is not correct.
Okay, let's start again.
No, let's not. Connect me to a representative.
I heard update your billing information. Is that correct?
Okay, stay calm. Take a deep breath. I've done this 100 times. I want to talk to a representative.
Sorry, I didn't understand that.
Representative, representative, representative.
I heard Rodriguez. Is that correct?
No, it's not. Well, so much for calm.
Sorry, I didn't understand that. I'm transferring you to a representative.
Finally.
But first, I'll need a little more information.
Oh, for Christ's
sake. In order to transfer you to the right representative. For billing changes, press 1. For tech support, press 2. For ordering pay-per-view, press 3.
Fine. I guess billing.
All of our representatives are assisting other customers. Your call is important to us. Please stay on the line for the next available representative.
I'm going to be here all day.
Hello, thank you for calling Timecast Optimum Cable. My name is Trudy. How can I help you today?
Yes, hi. I need to cancel my father's cable account.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, sir. Can I ask why you want to cancel it?
He passed away last month.
Sorry for your loss, sir.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Unfortunately, I cannot help you. This is the billing department. You need to talk to the account department. I transfer you.
Your call will be answered in the order in which it was received. Please stay on the line for the next available representative. The next available representative will be with you shortly.
No, they won't.
Hello, thank you for calling Timecast Optimum Cable. My name is Carla. How can I help you?
Yes, I got transferred to you from the billing department. I need to cancel my father's cable account.
No, I'm sorry to hear that, sir, but only the account holder can cancel an account.
Well, that's unfortunately going to be a little difficult. He passed away last month. He's dead.
So sorry for your loss, sir, but I'm not sure I can help you. I've never canceled a dead person's account.
Isn't it the same as canceling a live person's account? He's not using it anymore. How difficult can it be?
One moment, sir. I'm transferring you to my supervisor.
No, wait. No, don't transfer. Oh, for God's sake.
Hello. Welcome to Timecast Optimum Cable. My name is Padme. How can I help you?
Yes, hi. I need to cancel my father's cable account. And before you ask, my father can't cancel it because he passed away. He's dead. Now, I'm his son. I'm the executor of his estate. And you know, quite frankly, you're the third person I've been transferred to. So can you please help me?
I see. Well, I'm sure that we can help you, sir. First, can I have the reason your father wants to cancel his account?
He's dead?
Are you sure he wants to cancel his account?
Didn't you hear me? He's dead. He's buried. He's 6 feet under in the Shorehaven Garden Cemetery. A cemetery, I might add, with absolutely no cable service.
Well, we can certainly book a service technician to come out and fix that, sir.
I don't want a service technician to hook up cable service to a cemetery. Trust me, nobody there is watching any television.
Let me transfer you to my manager.
No, please don't. Crap.
All of our representatives are busy assisting other customers.
Oh, for God's sake.
Your call is important to us.
No, it isn't.
Please stay on the line.
Thank you for calling Timecast Optimum Cable. My name is Earl. How can I help you?
Okay. I'm calling to cancel my father's cable account because he is dead. Passed away, buried in the ground, gone to meet his maker. He is not currently now, nor any time ever again, going to be watching a television.
I see, sir. Well, did you know Timecast Optimum Cable also offers the fastest internet as well as the best phone service in the nation?
Well, in that I forgot to bury him with a phone or a computer, I don't think he's going to need either of those things. I just want to cancel his account.
I see. So let's get down to brass tacks, sir. Just what do we need to do to keep your father with the Timecast Optimum family?
I don't know. Resurrect him?
Actually, sir, I'm looking at your father's account information, and I'm afraid that we can't cancel his account.
What? Why not?
Well, he signed a 2-year Super Saver contract, and there is over a year left on it. It's non-cancelable.
Are you serious? What part of he's dead don't you get?
I hear you, sir, but sadly, death cannot terminate this type of contract.
You gotta be kidding me.
However, we still might be able to help you out, sir.
You can? How?
We can upgrade your father's account.
Upgrade?
Yes, sir, we can upgrade his account to our Extreme Super Gold Platinum Total Package.
And why on earth would I do that?
Well, that package can be terminated at any time. And he will be getting the Super NFL, NBA, and NHL season passes. Plus, he'll get all the adult channels as well as the best phone and the fastest internet service in the nation.
Wonderful. Just what every dead person needs.
Customer satisfaction is our primary goal, sir.
Yeah, I can tell. Okay, fine. Do it. Make the upgrade.
I'm sorry, sir, but I can't do that. I'll have to transfer you to the account department.
No. Don't transfer me. I just talked to the account department. I don't believe this. I'm in a Monty Python sketch.
Thank you for calling Timecast Optimum Cable. To continue in English,
no.
Press 1.
No.
To continue
no.
In Spanish,
no.
Press 2.
Who are you yelling at?
Oh, God
damn computer!
Okay. Did you at least cancel Dad's cable?
No, but on the bright side, Dad now has the best cable, phone, and internet service in the nation, not to mention all the sports tickets and all the porn channels.
I don't understand.
Neither do I, hon. Neither do I. Hello?
Hello. This is Timecast Optimum Cable. My name is Padme. We are calling to confirm a service appointment at Shorehaven Gardens next Tuesday between the hours of 12 and 5. Will somebody be there during those hours?
Yes, my dad'll be there.
Are you sure? If no one is there, we will have to charge a cancellation fee.
Oh, yes, he'll be there. I guarantee it.
Till Death Do Us Not Part featured Sandy Scherr as the automated voice, Robin Miles as Representative 3 and Supervisor, Barbara Rosenblatt as Representatives 1 and 2, Ryan McCabe as the manager, Sue Zizza as the wife, Tom Curley as the caller. Recorded and mixed by Tom Curley. Written by Tom and Ellen Curley. Directed by Tom Curley.
Set your internet dials to danger as we bring you action, as we bring you science, and as we bring you theater with Action Science Theater. Coffee, Patrick?
No, thanks, Steve. I'm cutting down.
Hope not?
Yeah.
Linda's looking really pretty today.
I hadn't really noticed.
That dress is very figure-hugging. Doesn't leave much to the imagination.
Steve, she's my sister.
Yeah, well, I meant it with full respect, of course.
Of course. How's your fantasy football team doing?
Oh, not bad. Yours?
I don't really like football.
Bit of a comp.
Spiritually fulfilling ambitions. You know, making a difference in the world.
Oh, right.
Anything?
Not really. You?
Well, it's crossed my mind. You know, travel maybe. Something that helps people, perhaps.
Won't leave you much time for finding a girlfriend.
Well, things aren't exactly on fire in that department at the moment anyway.
What about that Sandra from accounts?
She's a born-again Christian.
It's always the quiet ones who wear crosses.
I just want a bit of excitement.
We've got that team lunch at Nando's tomorrow.
Of course.
You do like their chicken.
What the? Where did you come from?
No time to explain, stand back.
What the?
Oh! You shot Steve!
That's right. That was Steve Jones. In a few years, he becomes head of the global megacorp and sets off a chain of events that eventually leads to the destruction of the entire planet.
James.
What?
Steve James. His name was Steve James.
Are you sure?
It's on his security pass.
Ah, yes, you're right. Yes, right.
Steve sat next to me for 3 years. He lets me eat his hobnobs. He won't even let my sister have one, and he's fancied her for ages.
Yes, you're upset. You would be. I've just shot your friend in front of you.
Steve!
It's okay, I can put this right. Just needs a bit of thought.
Steve!
Right, you'll need to come with me. Yes, you can help me. We'll need to get away from here before anyone else comes in and sees the body. Take my hand.
What? I'm not going anywhere with you, you lunatic!
Yes, right. I know it looks bad, but I can fix it. Come here.
Steve, can I get a hobnob? Steve?
What happened? Where are we?
We time jumped. We are currently in Adolf Hitler's bunker, just after that whole mass suicide thing everyone goes on about.
Cheery. Why?
I find it a nice quiet place to think.
Wait a minute. Time jumped.
Yes. Please allow me to introduce myself. They call me the Time Artist. Adventurer, travelling backwards and forwards in time, keeping the world safe.
And how is that working out for you?
Yeah, it doesn't always go exactly to plan. But don't worry. Thanks to the wonders of the fourth dimension, we can save your friend.
How exactly?
We can go back to before he was shot.
Shot by you?
Yes, by me. Let's not worry about who did what to who. I can be a little inaccurate.
I'd noticed.
But I know someone who isn't. They call her the Time Maiden. She adventures...
Stop that. Who is this they that gives everyone these silly names?
Well, it's a union thing. The point is, she's good, and she can help us. There's only one problem.
What's that?
She's being held prisoner somewhere in the mid-21st century.
Typical. When the answer seems so obvious.
Oh, you've noticed that too.
Who is she being held prisoner by?
Incidentally, by Steve Jones, head of Global Megacorp, who I thought I was getting rid of when I, you know...
Yes, let's not bring that up again.
Anyway, we'll need to go in and rescue her. Then we'll take care of Steve James and save Steve Jones.
You mean take care of Steve Jones and save Steve James?
Yes. Sorry, those names are pretty similar.
Hopefully this won't get confusing.
Yeah, what are the odds? Now, take my hand and I'll try and get us to the right time and place.
Do we have to hold hands?
Well, no, but I like to. Wait, do you hear something?
Fast, Max, go in meinem Bunker! Fahren!
Got the timing slightly wrong again. Time to go.
That's not my hand!
Here we are. Global Megacorp headquarters.
Are you sure? It's a bit, well, retro.
Ah. Oh no, you're right. I don't think this is it. Oh, this is Victorian London. I used to like coming here for the gin and loose morals. Maybe I left this thing on an old setting.
What is that?
Gin? Well, it's an alcoholic beverage flavoured with juniper.
Oh, not gin. I know what that is, and God knows I need one now. I mean that thing. The thing in your hand.
Oh, right. It's the thing that lets me time travel. I'd explain how it works, but really it defies description.
It really is something to look at, though.
Isn't it? Anyway, let me see if I can get this right this time. I think Hitler put me off. Not the worst thing he's done, but still.
Hello, hello, hello. What have we here?
Ah, good day, officer. Myself and my friend here were just discussing the work of German painters.
Really? Afraid I wouldn't know too much about that, sir. What I would know about is that these are not the times for strange men such as yourself, sir, to be hanging around on street corners.
We're sorry, officer. We'll just be on our way. We don't want any trouble.
And you're getting more suspicious every minute. Why don't you two accompany me to the station?
Well, that sounds lovely. Honestly, it does. But we must be going. Patrick, time for hands again.
Oh, good. My favourite part.
Here, what are you two doing? Men? Holding hands? I must meet this unfamiliar behaviour with violence. I am confused about my feelings on this turn of events. I think I'd better go and lie down.
Now, this is definitely right.
That is one big, imposing grey building.
Yeah, they're not very imaginative, these evil, world-conquering organisations. They always go for oppressive as a theme.
Hmm. How do we get in?
Well, they have a moat. And three levels of security fencing with motion-sensitive lighting. And security patrols with dogs. And a security force of 200 inside.
You know, Steve wasn't that much of a friend, really.
It'll be fine. Now we're here, I can try and jump us again. Just a little bit so we're inside, you know. Just a little jolt. Just a touch, a little flicky flick flick. Take the handy.
Are you sure this is going to work?
Honestly, no. But life is about risks.
Jim, you left the gate open again. Anyone could have wandered in.
T.A.
T.M.
Okay, so I don't have a silly name you can initialise.
I assume this is a rescue.
It is indeed. So nice to see you looking so well. May I introduce my new companion, Patrick?
Companion? Wait, we haven't talked about this.
So nice to meet you.
Likewise.
Your aim has improved considerably, T.A.
It's like you've always told me. Don't bother to try to think about it because I won't get it right anyway.
Good man. What's your plan for escape?
Simple. Everyone hold hands and let's jump.
Right. You know that's not going to work.
What do you mean?
If it was that easy, I would have jumped out of here ages ago.
Oh, good point. Why haven't you?
Because they've lined this room with something that won't let you.
Really? What could possibly do that?
It's really difficult to explain, so I don't think that I will.
Does that mean we're stuck in here?
I'm sure we can think of something.
It's a grey room entirely lined with metal, with no windows and no obvious door.
What did they do in The Great Escape or The Count of Monte Cristo?
We don't have enough pommel horses, and this isn't a French novel.
Could we trick our way out?
That could work. Steve Jones comes in once a day to gloat at me. Perhaps we could outsmart him and get ourselves out.
How do we outsmart the head of Global Megacorp? He's no fool. I had to research his background thoroughly so I could track him down.
What do you know about him? It might give us an edge.
Well, he started as an office drone. The lowest of the low. A nobody. Really nothing. Less than nothing. Barely worth the oxygen.
All right, no need to go on about it.
Then, after being a pointless wretch, he got promoted to regional manager. From there, he went from success to success. He grabbed the headlines when he led the purchase of the company that make Hobnobs.
Wait, regional manager? Hobnobs?
Yes, around the time he also met his first wife, Linda.
Linda?
This is going to take a very long time if you keep interrupting.
Any useful information about his background?
He loved Lanzarote and actually ended up buying it.
Are you sure his name's Steve James?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, of course he changed it at one point as he didn't think it sounded cool enough.
What did he change it from?
Steve Jones.
Hello, Patrick.
Steve?
I did shoot the right person. Yes.
Not really the right moment, T.A.
But you're not dead.
No. The bullet passed through my body, missing all of my vital organs, but smashing the packet of Hobnobs I was holding to smithereens.
Well, that was lucky.
They wouldn't dunk anymore, Patrick. They wouldn't dunk.
But what happened? Why do all this? Why try to take over the world?
After you left, I had an epiphany. I knew you were right. I knew I had to make something of myself. So I pushed for the regional manager's job. But that just wasn't enough. One small nibble at success, and I wanted the whole biscuit.
What about Linda?
The girl I always wanted. I used to write her name and draw little hearts around it. She was attracted to my success and became my wife. But she thought that I became drunk with power and left me for that barman in The Dog and Duck.
Yeah, she always had a thing for that guy.
That rejection drove me on to greatness. And I always remember that day with you, when that man appeared in the office.
That was me!
Shh!
Sorry, it's nice to get a mention.
When this girl appeared in front of me in the same way, I recognised it immediately and grabbed her. I had my men build this prison to keep her in until she gave me the secret of time travel.
Never!
Yes, so you keep saying.
But, Steve, you have all this. Why do you want to know about time travel?
I want her back, Pat. If I go back, I know I can make her love me again.
Linda?
Wow, this is an emotional roller coaster?
So romantic.
Release her, Steve. I can go back. I can stop you getting shot. I can make sure you're together. I can fix it all.
It's too late for that.
No, it really isn't. I'm not sure you've grasped time travel.
Guard! Yes, sir? Take him, kill him, leave her.
Wait, who are you pointing at and when?
Now!
Well done. We got them all. When did you hatch that plan?
We didn't. I just thought if I shouted now, something would happen. Worked out well.
So, all we have to do is go through the door and we can jump.
That's the idea. We just need to get somewhere safe for now. Grab a hand, the both of you.
That is a lot of gold.
It's definitely safe, though.
It's definitely safe, eh? Eh? No? Just me, then.
So, thanks for saving me. I owe you one.
No, we're even. Do you remember those cannibal pygmies in about 1753?
Oh, yes. How could I forget? They sure knew how to throw a party.
T.A., didn't you have something you wanted to ask?
Oh, yes. Before you go, I need to get back and stop Steve from getting shot. You know, to stop the whole him becoming an evil madman thing.
Try inputting 473629. That should probably do it.
Oh, of course. Plus one, not minus one. I always forget to carry the decimal point.
Yes, I think I see your problem.
Nice to meet you, Patrick.
So, doesn't this mean that Steve's rise to power is essentially all your fault?
Yep. Time is an odd thing, isn't it?
Yes, time is obviously the problem here.
Would you take my hand again?
Very well. Is this it? Or have we missed it by a couple of years?
Don't be rude. The earlier you is just behind the curtain. Listen.
I just want a bit of excitement.
We've got that team lunch at Nando's tomorrow.
Of course.
Do you like their chicken?
Here I come. Stop!
What?
Don't shoot him.
Why not?
Trust me, it doesn't work out well.
Okay, whatever you say, you handsome devil.
Well, thank you.
What is going on?
Never mind. Just do one thing for me, Steve.
What?
Ask my sister out.
Hey!
No, I don't want that thing to happen. Quiet, past version of me.
What? Do I need to shoot anyone? No, it's okay. You go about your business and say hello to TM for me. Oh, am I going to see her? How nice. I better go too.
But there are two of me here. You can't leave us both.
Good point. To be honest, I'm not very good at this timeline working things out stuff. Which one is the evil one?
How about dropping me off in Victorian London?
Well, yeah, I could go for it, Jin.
And I quite like this holding hands thing now.
Tally-ho!
Nando's, you said, for lunch tomorrow?
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Starring in The Time Artist were Matt Kirk, Jack Broom, Mark Pritchard, Wendy Brackley and Brian Macken. Written by Dan Bond and Brian Macken. Produced by Dan Booth.
That was The Time Artist from Action Science Theatre. Their website's gone, but they're still available via podcast. And before that, we heard Till Death Do Us Not Part from Voicescapes in New York. I am Jerry Stearns, and you have been listening to Sound Effects, a radio playground. Join us next Sunday night for more modern audio theater here on Fresh Air Radio. Now, Abby's Room for One is coming up next, and that'll last you till midnight. And then after that, there's even more music through the night on KFAI. Join us again next week for more modern audio theater and comedy on Sound Effects, a radio playground, here on Fresh Air Radio.
Programming on KFAI is supported in part by the Hook and Ladders Theater and Lounge, presenting Beth Bambara and Mother Banjo live on the Zen Arcade Stage, Sunday, April 19th. Beth Bambara's music lives at the intersection of 70s folk soul and 90s indie rock. She's touring with her latest release, It All Goes Up, while Mother Banjo opens the show with her signature blend of indie, folk, and bluegrass songs. More information about Beth Bambara and Mother Banjo at the Hook and Ladder Theater is available at thehookmpls.com.
Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting the Reverend Horton Heat in the First Avenue Main Room, Wednesday, April 29th. Dallas Psychobilly Trio, the Reverend Horton Heat, are back with their latest release, Roots of the Rev, Volume 1. It's an all-covers congregation paying tribute to the roots of rockabilly and country in an old-school, stripped-down, lo-fi way that only the Reverend Horton Heat can convocate. Opening the show is Black Joe Lewis and Pinata Protest. More information about the Reverend Horton Heat in the First Avenue Main Room is available at first-avenue.com.
In recognition of the freedom of speech protections on the First Amendment and the FCC's relaxed policy on late night and overnight language, this KFAI program may include song lyrics that some listeners might find objectionable. Listener discretion is advised.